Philippians chapter 3. For the teens, this is a well-familiar passage this week as it was hit on at least three times, I think three of the nights. And no, I'm not going to preach the same thing or anything like that, but this is more of what God has shown me this week while I've been down there at camp, how he's used the man of God and the word of God this week. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3 this evening. If you're there, we're going to start in verse number 1, and we're going to read down to verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse number 1, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this evening, I just pray that what you have given to me this week, how you've worked in my heart, how you've worked in my life, Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing to your people here this evening, God. I pray that you'd just give me the words that I need. You'd help me to say what you'd have for me to say. And Lord, that we'd be able to walk out of here challenged. We'd be able to walk out of here different, Lord, having had been in your house this evening, Lord. Just please be with me as your messenger. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your power and your spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen. A well-familiar verse we end with there in Philippians 3, verse 14. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Our theme verse this week, a theme verse for this summer down there at Teen Extreme Camp at Pensacola Christian College. I press toward the mark. Press. I looked up. There are several definitions of the word. You can look it up on Google. You can get a definite, basic English definition of the word. You can go to a Greek lexicon and you can look even more so into what the word means in the Greek. And I did a little bit of the both so that we might have a little bit of a full understanding of what the word press might mean to us in today's time. Figuratively, it means of one who runs a race swiftly to reach the goal. I press. I press to reach the goal. I move forward to reach whatever that goal is. I run the race swiftly. I run it smoothly. I run it well as I possibly can. Press, it means to eagerly pursue or to seek after. I press. I am seeking after this thing. I press. I am eagerly pursuing this. Press. It also means to wear out, to work hard. I am pressing. I'm wearing out. I'm working hard from pressing forward, from doing this thing. A couple definitions of the word press. Before the Apostle Paul gets to this verse, we see that he has 13 other verses before this that he's writing. A little bit of background before we get to verse 14. Press. What does it mean to press? Why are we supposed to press? Which way are we supposed to press? Let's dive in. Let's figure it out. Let's dig a little bit deeper here to figure some things out. You know, from studying the life of the Apostle Paul, I can't think of a much more of a greater man of God, to be honest, to study and to try to live up to and to follow the example of than the Apostle Paul. I believe truly he was the greatest missionary besides Jesus Christ himself here on earth. The great things that God did through this man, absolutely amazing. He literally could have walked into any church nowadays and everybody would be bowing at his feet almost as if he was Jesus Christ. Paul, that's Paul. Paul, we know everything you've done, man. We retweet all your tweets. We like all your posts on Facebook. We love your Instagram posts and pictures. Paul, we've read all your books. I've memorized several of the chapters and verses. Paul, you are an inspiration to me. Paul, you are my hero. Paul, you are absolutely amazing. That's the way we would look at Paul today. I kind of look at Paul like that even from back then. He deserved a lot of credit. He deserved a lot of accolades. He deserved anything that we could have thrown his way. But Paul was not that way. Paul was not that way. Paul didn't care about any accolades that could have been given to him. Paul didn't care about any rewards that he was given, saying, hey, you've done a great job. Hey, you've done this well, and you've done great here in this area. Let's give you a trophy for memorizing this many verses. So on, you know, down the line, whatever, fill in the blank you want to say. Paul didn't care. He didn't want all that. It wasn't about that. He didn't care about anything that he earned here on this earth. His whole life, his whole ministry was builded, was founded upon this theme. I press. I press. Wesley, what are you saying? We still don't get it, but we're going somewhere. We're going to get there tonight. In verse 10, it says that I may know who? Him. That I may know him. Paul didn't care who knew him. Paul didn't care how well his name was known abroad. Paul didn't care if he walked into the church, if he was going to get an applause, if he was going to get a bunch of amens. Paul didn't care about that. Paul didn't care about his name necessarily, but what he did care about was knowing him. That's all Paul cared about was that he knew him and that he wanted to apparently know him more. Paul had to know God pretty well. I mean, to do with the things that he did, to see the lives change, the cities that he went to, and we see revival coming about from the cities that he went to, and the way he preached, all the churches he started, he had to know God. He had to know him personally. He had to know him pretty well, but he didn't settle for that. He wanted to know him more. A man that knew God as well as he did wanted to know God even more. Can I ask this evening, you may know God, but do you want to know him more? Do you even care about knowing him more? Or are you just settled at where you're at in the Christian life? Yeah, I know him. I know him. We've had the same experience as the Apostle Paul has. Maybe not there on the Damascus Road, obviously. A light shining down from heaven and a loud voice speaking unto him. Paul, Paul. No, we haven't had that kind of experience. But you may have been saved. You may know that you've had that awesome personal experience with Jesus Christ. If you were to die tonight, you're on your way to heaven. We get that. You know him in that way, but do you want to know him more? Paul did. He wanted to know the power of God in his life. He says that, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He wanted to know God more so he could be more like God. He wanted to know the power of God. He wanted to have the power of God in his life. He wanted to see God working in his life. He wanted to see God, feel God working in him and through him. He wanted to know him more. You skip down to verse 12. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Paul followed Christ's example. Paul followed Christ's example. And what a better example to follow than Jesus Christ, right? We can look at, we spoke this morning in youth group. We look at all kinds of people today that we want to model ourselves after, celebrities and athletes and famous people and things that people we see on the TV all the time or in magazines and things like that. We're not supposed to, as Christians, model our lives after those types of people. Instead, we need to follow the supreme, ultimate example of Jesus Christ. There's no better example to follow in our lives than Jesus Christ. Paul, he says, I follow after. He followed after the example of Christ. God saved him. God changed him. We all know who he was before he was the great apostle Paul, right? Completely different life. Totally changed. Totally different. He's saved. He's changed. God called him. God gave him a new purpose. God's doing awesome things in him. He's using him mightily. So why not? Let's follow the greatest life, the greatest example that he could follow. He followed Jesus Christ. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing or reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here I see focus. Paul was focused. He wanted to know God more. He followed Christ's example, but he was focused. Focused about what? He wasn't distracted by the past. We all too many times get distracted by our past. We're humans. That's just what we do. It's easy for us. We look at the past, we get distracted by it. It discourages us. It weighs us down. It brings us down. And we're like, why am I so depressed? What's going on? Well, maybe it's because you've looked at the past. You know, Jesus forgives and he forgets. And as Christians, we're supposed to do that for others. But hey, even ourselves, I know it's hard. But we're not supposed to be distracted. We're not supposed to look in the past. Paul was not distracted by the past. He was focused on his goal. He was focused on his purpose. He was focused on his calling. If we keep looking in the past, it's what will keep us from God and what God has for us in the future. We have to stay focused, just like the Apostle Paul. Because of these things, because he wanted to know God more, because he followed Christ's supreme example, because he was focused on what God had ahead of him for his life. We see verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press, I've given you the definition of what that means now. The goal that he was reaching for. He's wearing himself out, whatever it is that he's doing. He's working himself out strong to his fullest extent, whatever it is he's doing. He's eagerly pursuing after this thing. He's seeking after. He's running his race as well as he can after this one thing. May I ask you this evening, what are you pressing for? Challenge me this week. What am I pressing for? What are you pressing for? Is it wealth? Is it fame? Is it recognition of some sort? Is it a raise or a promotion in your job? Is it some prestige, bigger and better possessions? Whatever it is, can I say, forget that in the past? Leave that in the past because there's something better that we can press for. There's something better that we can run with and run towards and work ourselves out. We can wear ourselves out doing. It's not those things, but what's Paul say? He says he pressed towards this, the mark. The mark, the goal, the end that he had in view. That's what mark means. He had an end in sight. He could view it. He could see it. The end of his life, this is where he wanted to be, which is why he was going to press towards it. That was the goal of his life, to press toward the mark for the what? Prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize. I'm sure there's a lot of debate. There's probably a lot of theologians that spend so much time thinking about what is this prize. But in all simplicity, might I just say this evening, I believe that the prize is just the calling itself. The opportunity to follow God. The opportunity to live out the life that he's called us to live. I'm doing that right now. I'm living my life to my fullest. I absolutely love it, and I thank God every day for how he's called me and what he's called me to do. I like to think that's my prize. Doing what the Lord wants me to do. It's not about the benefits that come from the call. It's not about anything else that comes from the call. It's just the fact that he's called you. that he's called you to do something, whatever it is. The prize is the opportunity to be able to run the race, to be able to do this, what he's wanting you to do in his life, to be able to partner with God himself in order to work for his future kingdom. That's the prize. The thing is, this prize can't be found anywhere else, can't be found in anyone else. What's the end of verse 14 say? In Christ Jesus. This prize can only be found in Christ Jesus. Only in him and only through him can you find this prize, this calling for your life. You heard the young people tonight give the testimony about purpose. Purpose. What's the purpose for your life? One day they'll know because God's going to call them to that purpose. Many of us are living out our calling, our purpose for our lives because God has called us to that purpose. God has made us for that purpose, and we've been called. There's all kinds of calls. There's a purposeful call, right? There's a personal call. The same call does not go to everyone. It's to each and every one. It's individualized. It's specialized. It's personal. God doesn't call everybody to do the same thing. If so, we'd be out of luck if he did so. There's a glorious call in the fact that you get to do it for him. He's calling you to do a purpose, and you get to live it out for him. What a wonderful thing. Whatever your calling is, wherever it is that God has directed you, and whatever the purpose it is, it's only from and found in Christ Jesus. And Paul is pressing towards this. Paul is working himself. He's waking up every morning. He's ending every day to his fullest extent to fulfill his purpose, to fulfill this calling in his life, to attain this prize of being able to do so. He pressed. When it comes to pressing forward, just like Paul, we need to have a desire to know him more. Not Paul, not pastor, not any other role model we may have in our life or religious leader, to know him more. Only then can we press forward to the calling that God has for us. We must follow Christ's example. It's laid out in his word, his example. We have four whole chapters of the life of Jesus Christ. Four whole books that we can look at, we can read, we can study and find out, how can I follow Christ's example? How can I live like Christ? It's all here in the word of God for us. We must have a focus. We can't be distracted. We can't be looking around. We can't be worried about everything that's going on around us. We have to be focused on the goal. We have to press. And then and only then can you work hard by pursuing the one who saved you, the one who called you. You can follow through with the calling that he has for your life. You can live it out by finding that purpose. You can live it out fully. You can end your life knowing that you did what he wanted you to do. And you can be excited. You can be happy. You can be thankful for it. Then you can be driven like the Apostle Paul was in his life and ministry. I press is what the Apostle Paul says. I press what I'm going to try to do. Do you? Do you press? Just like following Jesus' example, if Jesus could do it, we can do it. If Paul could do it, we could do it this evening. I press. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for the challenge that you've given us this evening. I pray that not only was it a help to me this week, not only was it a challenge to me, but to your people, Lord, that we'd be able to take this, that we'd be able to use this in our own respective hearts and lives, Lord, that you'd work in our lives as only you can, but definitely, Lord, that each and every single one of us would desire to know you more, that we'd follow your example, that we would focus on the goal that you have for our lives, and that we would press forward to it, Lord. Love you and thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. In your name we pray, amen. With heads bowed.